Hello and welcome to Market Week in Review for the week ended October 18th, 2019. I'm Russell Investments Chief Investment Strategist Eric Ristabin. There are three basic areas that I would like to discuss this morning. Thankfully, two of them are not in the U.S. The U.S. has dominated a lot of the headlines recently. The first thing we'll talk about is Brexit. We'll talk a little bit about Chinese growth, and then we'll come back to the States and talk a little bit about earnings season thus far. Starting with Brexit, Boris Johnson successfully negotiated a deal with the European Union. He is putting that vote in front of Parliament tomorrow, Super Saturday, and it is unclear as to whether or not it'll be approved. Effectively, what the deal is that it's treating Northern Ireland as kind of a separate entity from the rest of the United Kingdom. Northern Ireland will effectively stay in a common customs union and not have a hard border between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland, which I think is the deal that most people wanted. Unfortunately, it's not doesn't seem to be the deal that the Democratic Unionist Party of Northern Ireland wanted. The DUP has 10 members of parliament. They have said they're not going to support this deal. And that is an issue for Boris Johnson because those 10 votes are why he's prime minister. So in order for him to replace those 10 votes, he's probably going to have to get 19 Labour MPs to vote for the deal. And it'll be interesting to see if that happens. The discussion around Brexit, it won't end with that vote, I assure you. There are lots of details to work out, one of which is there is a belief that if Northern Ireland is going to be treated differently than the rest of the United Kingdom, Scotland may actually want the same deal. We'll see how that all proceeds. It's interesting. We've talked a lot about Brexit over the last 3 years. And when a deal was announced, and it is a deal in principle between the United Kingdom and the European Union, on the day that it was announced, stock markets globally basically did nothing. So I think there may be a little bit of Brexit fatigue in the broad marketplace. Turning our attention to Asia, China announced its growth rate today, remarkably quick, as always. They said they grew at a 6% rate, which is at the low end of their targeted 6 to 6.5% growth rate. One could be a little suspicious on the conveniently round number of 6%. One may be a little bit suspicious about the fact that it actually is still within the range of their economic growth target. But it is a recognition that economic growth in China is slowing. I think there seem to be two elements of that slowing. Investment is actually softening. Certainly the state-owned and state-run businesses within China are continuing to invest in their businesses, but it is very clear that non-Chinese foreign firms are actually beginning to effectively divest themselves in China, and that's having an effect on investments. The other thing that they've also been trying to do as they've been trying to deal with the trade issues is they've also been trying to contain lending, particularly as it relates to housing. Housing market has shown some weakness. And as a result, consumer confidence has actually dropped in China, and that's being exhibited in a number of ways, not the least of which is consumer spending is actually softening, in particularly auto sales. Chinese citizens who are not as confident about economic progress and are not seeing their home prices appreciate dramatically as they have in the past have started to stop buying automobiles at the same rate. And that's contributing. So both investment and consumption, particularly in the auto sector, are contributing to the slowdown in economic activity, probably creating some motivation on President Xi's part to strike a deal with President Trump. President Trump, moving to the United States, has motivation as well. You're seeing earnings this quarter. The expectation for earnings is about negative 4.6% earnings growth in the third quarter. If it follows form with the first two quarters, it'll probably end the quarter right around zero, slightly in negative territory. If it ends up in negative territory, that would end up being the third quarter in a row where we've seen negative earnings. So far, earnings were very early in earnings seasons. We got a lot of banks that have reported. It's mixed results in terms of banks, but understand that interest rates dropped in the third quarter pretty dramatically. Therefore, homes became more affordable. It's spurred a very positive National Association of Home Builders number this morning, and that actually is a positive in the economy. Unfortunately, retail sales were a little weak in the month. I think there is one kind of tonality in terms of some of the bank commentary, and it seems the banks are not quite as optimistic as they were, say, a couple of quarters ago. But it's important to understand they're not pessimistic. And I think they are recognizing the impact that trade uncertainty is having, particularly on the manufacturing sector, as we've talked a lot about. And they're beginning to become concerned potentially that will begin to infect the consumer spending market. And I don't think the weak retail sales helped this month, but it's also not a sign of anything. That's a notoriously volatile number. Those are the three things that I want to talk about. The future path of the global economy, as we've been saying for quite some time, is unclear at this time. There's a lot of things that are in play. We'll keep you informed on the data that we're watching and let you know when we actually believe that there is a more clear path forward for the global economy and the U.S. economy in particular. Thank you, and join us next week.